Good morning again, and thank you so much for being with us this Father's Day Sunday. You know, as a father, I look back over my life with my kids, and we've had so many really marvelous times together and really fantastic conversations. And sometimes they're deep conversations about things political or things theological or just the minutiae of life. But if I'm being honest, especially with my younger kids, a shocking number of the conversations I have with them begin with the phrase, "Dad, if you had a superpower, what would it be?" I don't know why this is a question that comes up over and over again, but it does. And my usual go-to is, I would want to have the superpower of control over time. Because I would like to be able to speed time up or slow time down or jump back and do things over again because I never have enough time to do everything I want to do. But if I'm being honest, I think if I had to be able to do what my kids wanted me to do and name a superpower that really would make the world a better place, that would truly save the world, I think I would like to have the superpower of perspective. Perspective is a difficult thing for us human beings because most of the time we're sort of locked in our own lives. We're locked in our own point of view. We're locked in our own way of seeing the world. We're locked into our own limitations and that we then apply to other people. We're locked into our own abilities and capabilities that we expect of other people. We're locked into our own life experiences. The younger we are, the smaller the pool of life experiences we have to draw from. Although we always assume, at every age of our life, don't we, that we have experienced the most that we need to experience to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, true and false. If I had a superpower that I could actually go out in the world and make the world a better place with, I would love to be able to give the gift of perspective. To truly get people to not only see the world the way I do, but also to be able to look through their eyes and see the world the way they do. And to see those gifts of people who have had different life experiences than I have, who've come from different places than I have, who see the world differently than I do in marvelous ways. And to help other people who have a limitation in the way they see the world, to see it through my eyes, maybe then see through the eyes of faith and understand the presence of God more wholly. If I could have that, especially with my children, I would love to give that gift of perspective so that they could have the full scope of everything that I've experienced to draw from in their young lives so that they wouldn't have to experience things I've had, so that they would be able to learn from what I know. As parents, we try to teach our children these things, but in the end, we can teach these lessons, but until you really see it through your own eyes and have that experience and see it from your own perspective, we have a hard time grasping hold of it. In today's gospel passage, we have one of these moments of just this extreme difference in point of view. This extreme difference in perspective between Jesus and his disciples. Here's Jesus, and he's just gotten done doing a very extensive period of ministry in Galilee. And this was when he was incredibly popular. Thousands of people would come out to be healed. Thousands of people would come out to hear him preach. Thousands of people would come out with questions and problems that they wanted him to help with. And every so often, Jesus would sneak away with his disciples. This is one of these circumstances. He says to his disciples, "Let's get into a boat and we'll cross across the Sea of Galilee to a different location, maybe a different village or different town, probably to do more ministry." But he says, "Let's get into the boat, just the bunch of us, not a whole fleet of boats." There were some, but just to get away. And Jesus, who is exhausted by the hard work that he has put in, because, of course, as much as Jesus is God, he is also human. And so what does he do? Well, there's a break section in the stern of the boat where people would go to rest, and it had cushions. He goes back there to take a nap. Isn't that what you do when you're tired? And as they're crossing across the Sea of Galilee, Most of these individuals on the boat with Jesus are from the area, and many of them are themselves sailors, find themselves in a very rough and precarious position. A sudden storm has arose. The Sea of Galilee, that is normally quite still, is now thrashing with waves. The ship and their boats were fairly sturdy back then, believe it or not. They really could put up with a lot of bad weather, is beginning already to be swamped, to founder. And they are fully anticipating that unless something happens, they will die in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And they wake Jesus in a panic. Jesus gets up. And what is most striking is not that Jesus then speaks to the storm and says, "Storm, be quiet, go away," and then the storm goes away. That's actually not the part that's most shocking if you really read it. It's that Jesus is genuinely surprised and perhaps even slightly disappointed that they were worried about the storm. Why aren't you having more faith? Why were you afraid of the storm? Well, that's a difference in perspective, isn't it? Here is Jesus seeing the world from the eyes of God. And in Jesus's point of view, there is no problem too great that he cannot overcome it. And then we see the perspective of the disciples who are seeing this raging storm going on around them and thinking to themselves, as would any sensible or logical human, we are in grave peril, our lives are in danger, we may not survive. Now, you and I are not perhaps seasoned sailors on the Sea of Galilee. They were. And they would say from their perspective as experts, they were in dire straits. But then Jesus gets up from his nap, which he's still taking in the midst of the storm, by the way. They wake him from his nap, and he comes to the front of the ship, and he says, "Be still," and the storm is still. Because from God's point of view, the storm is a small thing. The storm is a thing that can be overcome with a phrase. We human beings, sometimes, in our relationship with God, we forget. We forget what God can do. We forget what God does do. We forget that God sees things so far differently than we do. We forget that in God's perspective, the problems that we have in this world, the trials that we face, the tribulations that we go through, they're not that big. They are to us. And I know when I'm talking to my children and they're talking about problems they're having at school, or problems they're having with their friends, or problems they're having with their lives, and I think to myself, well, that's not a problem. That's such a small thing. That's my perspective, because I, of course, have decades more experience and decades more perspective on how to deal with such a small problem. Well, of course, God is considerably older than we are. In fact, infinitely older than we are, infinitely more powerful than we are, infinitely more wise than we are. And the problems of this world, when we lay them at the cross of Jesus Christ, and we look at the cross and we think, how can it bear such enormous problems? And God looks down and says, why are you worried about bringing me such small things? So I say to you right now, you may be facing storms in your life. You may be facing what you think is a catastrophic destruction of the ship of your life. Place it at the foot of the cross. Say, God, here are my problems. Please give me your strength, your wisdom, your guidance. Help me with my troubles. As humans, we think that's an enormous ask. But then God, from his incredible perspective, looks down and says, my children, is that all that you were worried about? Why were you worried? I can handle that.